Morning. Good to see all of you, and thanks again for this opportunity to be with you for this fourth time. It's just been a joy and a great privilege and honor, so thanks again. Thanks to this group. Doug has done an awesome job in matching music to what I plan to say, and for the rest of the team in bringing it to life. Thanks up there as well. It's seamless. It's amazing. And so it makes preaching, you know, a lot easier, because I don't have to worry about, is the slide going to get up there, or does the music work and all of that. So it's been great to be with you. I appreciate it. And so thanks for joining us this morning. I should probably stay right here under this light. I can see well. There's a certain sense of security and safety and even warmth. Being in the security of the light. I suspect the children of Israel felt very much this same way. You know, in the darkness that was part of their experience out there, God's mighty hand, a pillar of fire at night, the safety again and the warmth, the experience of his presence with them, protecting them from the dangers that lurked out there all over the place in the wilderness. Why would anyone ever move away from the light? But I'm reminded of the old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, the presence of his warmth and safety and protection, the ability to see, the shadow, the dark side, as small as it gets. Why would anyone move away? Well, I look out there and I think, you know, those people seem to be having a lot of fun. Maybe I'm missing out on something. I'm kind of curious. What's that life all about? Well, and if it's a place I'm not supposed to be, well, you know, I'm pretty strong. I think I can handle a little temptation. And, well, to be honest, I feel a little bit like Elijah after, you know, defeating the prophets of Baal, and he's out there hiding under a bush in the middle of nowhere, and he says, God, I'm the only one. It feels like right here, I'm the only one. I don't see anybody else. I'm all by myself. Maybe I'll join that group. See what that's all about. Whoa. I don't know if you can see that, but my shadow, it just got a lot bigger, that dark side. The farther I get away, the more it grows. So this morning, we want to talk about the law of light and shadows. The farther you are from the light, the more the darkness, the more your shadow, the more your, well, the Bible said it, your deceitfully wicked heart creeps in to your life. When I was a student in seminary, I had a fellow classmate who looked like the rest of us. He carried his Bible. I assume he read it. He went to class. He got passing grades. So I know he was studying, and for all I know, he prayed and all the rest. But somehow, he moved away from the presence of the Lord on a continual basis. His shadow grew, and the darkness eventually just overwhelmed him. And he became the first person that I personally knew who died of AIDS. I don't know why he moved away. I don't know if it was inadequacy or sense of insecurity or the pleasure of his behavior or the persuasion of another person. I don't know. I never saw his shadow. I just know eventually, well, it devoured him. The law of light and shadows. The farther you are from the light, from God's mighty hand, from his presence, the bigger the shadow. This morning, there are two scriptures that focus on this principle. Let's take a look, first of all, at Exodus chapter 13. I already referred to it. They're in the wilderness, and you know the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night in the darkness, in the danger of all the critters of the wilderness, with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night, and the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Now we move to 1 Peter, and Peter references this phenomenon. And he says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. In other words, the pillar of fire, the presence of the Lord. Humble yourselves there. Don't be so proud as to think, well, I can handle that. I can handle a little temptation. It's not a problem for me. No. Peter says, you stay right here in the presence of the Lord, where you can see and where you're protected and where the security exists. At the right time, he'll lift you up in honor, as opposed to what will happen to you out there in the darkness. Give all your worries and cares. What am I worried about? Well, maybe I'm missing out on something. They're having a lot of fun. I don't want to be the only one here. Give all your worries and cares to God. He cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out, or your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone in the darkness to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Let's pray. Father, prone to wonder, we feel it, prone to leave you. It just looks so good out there sometimes. And we feel so inadequate or so insecure or so lonely that, well, there are times when we just walk away, even turn our backs. So this morning, Father, inspire us once again through the power of your Holy Spirit to be motivated to stay in your presence, a place where obedience is our choice and is so much easier. Thank you for your promise that you take our cares and our worries and you bring us through. In Christ's name, amen. Gordon MacDonald, a well-respected pastor, author, respected pastor, Christian author, wrote the book, Ordering Your Private World. Maybe you've read it. And he says this: a few years ago, I gave a speech at a college commencement, and before it all began, I'm in the president's office with one of the board members, and we're getting acquainted and asking each other questions. And he asked me a very strange question. He said, Gordon, if Satan were to blow you out of the water, how do you think he'd do it? And Gordon MacDonald said, well, I'm not sure. All sorts of ways, I suppose, but I know there's one way he wouldn't get me. Oh, really? What's that? He'd never get me in the area of my personal relationships. That's one place I have no doubt I'm as strong as you can get. As strong as you can get. And as great-grandson Kit would say, Uh-oh. A few years later, says McDonald, a few years after that conversation, my world broke apart. A chain, now listen carefully, we're coming back to this, a chain of seemingly innocent choices became destructive, and it was all my fault. I was under the light, would be my interpretation, and I just took a little step, just a little baby one, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit, and all of a sudden, his world is upside down. It's a mess. In the very area I predicted I was safe, my world had to be rebuilt. He had an affair with his secretary. And so he wrote a second book, Rebuilding Your Broken World. You know the problem with the lion out there? He's roaring. And hungry lions don't roar. You watch a cat sneaking up on a mouse in the hayfield, right? It's not making any noise. But you think because I can hear him and I can see it and I know, well, I can handle this. I'm safe. He's roaring. He's not hungry. He's going to leave me alone. I can keep my distance. I can handle this. Oswald Chambers, in his book, The Place of Help. Bible characters never fail on their weak points, but their strong ones. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. The devil won't get me. I can handle that. I hear him roaring. I know exactly where he is. And suddenly, just like that, I'm devoured. My shadow has overwhelmed me. The darkness has invaded my life. Now, the Greek word that Peter uses, seeking whom he may devour, about the lion, is the same Greek word that the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, it's the same word that is used to describe the great fish swallowing Jonah. Katapino. Sorry. But I thought it was kind of a cool sounding word, so I thought, I'll throw one little Greek one in there, okay? I don't usually do that. Katapino. You wander away from that light, and the darkness doesn't take its time and overwhelm you. Wham, gone. My friends, we all have a dark side. Heart is desperately wicked. Who could understand? A shadow. And we're all vulnerable, especially in those areas where we think we're not, where we think we're the strongest. And the growth of that shadow, if you're here, you don't jump way over there. You make a little choice, just a little one. Father Michael, priest at the Greek Orthodox Seminary down past Hayesville, said this once. He was a former student at the seminary. He said, some people think their personal sin is a harmless little thing. There are no harmless sins. A pretty golden chain still binds. The lightest silken thread still binds unless it's broken. And the fact is, that a thread wrapped many times is much harder to slip out of than a bulky rope. Little lies, little cheats, little greeds and jealousies, little infidelities, little thefts, a thoughtless cutting word, a neglect to say thank you, delay to pay a bill when you have the money, neglect to offer a helping hand to a friend in need, refusal to take time to listen to another's needs. The growth of a shadow is a gradual thing. The devouring Katapino is not. What's so appealing out there in the darkness anyway? Well, for Adam and Eve, it was the fruit. And for Lot and his wife, it was life in the city. And for Samson, the women of Philistia. For some others, it may be love of danger or the testing of limits or, well, come on, you know this. Sin can be a lot of fun. For a while. till the devouring. And then, you know, the fear I might miss out, or I'm all alone, or the assumption I can handle this, whatever. These biblical characters didn't resist. They moved away from the light. The shadows got larger, and suddenly they're devoured. Not fortunately, the law of light and shadows only applies to them, right? To Adam and Eve and Lot's wife and Samson and Gordon MacDonald and, well, my deceased classmate. There are, of course, people everywhere who struggle with temptation, with obedience, and they successfully resist it. They obey. Choosing to stay under the light, brothers and sisters all over the world, they have discovered that God will give back anything they might have lost, any thrill, any pleasure they might have missed by staying under the light. They know about the law of light and shadows. The farther from the light, the bigger the shadow. The closer to the light, the smaller the shadow. But you know what? This sermon isn't about stopping your sinning. I could tell you not to sin all day long, and you'll hear the roar. You think, got this. You'll see others. I can handle it. It's just a little thing. By now, you're going, wait a minute. I thought this series was on Joshua. What happened to Joshua in week 4? Well, I thought you'd never ask. So we come to the end of the book of Joshua, chapters 23 and 24. Joshua's 110 years old, and he's in his last days as their leader and his days on this planet. And so he gathers all the people together to give them one final word, his farewell sermon, if you will. And he begins by reminding them of all that God has done for them. You know, Israelites, God called out Abraham to be a special family, our father, and gave him the land of Canaan. And then ultimately, you know, the famine and Joseph and Jacob, and they all end up in Egypt. And ultimately, they're in bondage, they're in slavery, and through Moses and Aaron and the 10 plagues and all the rest, God has delivered us out of Egypt. And we wandered in the wilderness. We got there after he parted the Red Sea, and now he's providing, well, manna and water. He's given us the cloud and the pillar of fire. He's fought our battles for us on both sides of the Jordan River. And now we live in towns we didn't build. We eat fruit from vineyards we didn't plant. We're enjoying the vegetables from gardens we didn't sow. So knowing all that you know, and having seen all that you have seen, Joshua says to those people, knowing this God who has loved you in countless ways, and through our history since the calling out of Abraham, you have a choice to make. Joshua 24. So he urges them, fear the Lord. Serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever your idols. Whew, thank heavens we don't have idols these days. Oh, wait. I could give you the list, but I don't have to. First, you've heard sermons about the idols in your life. But then, lo and behold, Tiffany and Jerry just went over that whole list. Put away your idols. Not just Joshua to the Israelites, but Holy Scripture to each one of us. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, you got a choice to make. Choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24. Remember Philip Keller from 4 weeks ago? I didn't expect you would, but Remember what he said about Joshua? He's seldom been given the full credit he deserves as perhaps the greatest man of faith ever to set foot on the stage of human history. 110, he has been faithful all the way along. And you know how? He stayed right here. He made a choice every moment of every day, and that's what it takes. You can't choose this week, you know, I'm going to stay right here. But then, you know, another week comes by and you think, well, maybe I'll take a step out or so. You know? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look, again, this sermon is not about stopping your sinning. God's, believe it or not, God's first concern is not your sin. Well, how often do you go to church? How much do you read your Bible? How many hours a day are you spending in prayer? God is way more interested in something else. Are you in his presence? Are there regular times in your life of worship, of praise, of adoration, of standing in awe? Remember mysterium tremendum? Of receiving his love, the strength and the encouragement of his embrace, the refreshment of the living water that Jesus promised, the security in times when our lives have unraveled. Don't misunderstand, sin matters. It matters because it separates us. It moves us away from his presence. You don't have to go to church, but you know, if you're all here. Who are you preaching to, the choir? You don't have to go to church, but if you worship regularly and you're studying with others, shout out to the classes that happen, and you're encouraged by a word, a handshake, a hug by someone else here, you don't have to read the Bible, but it's really hard to obey if you don't know what the principles are. And if you want to get to know him better, you might want to know what he has to say. And you don't have to pray. Well, what kind of relationship do you have with people you never talk to? Queen Victoria had a habit of visiting some of her subjects from time to time. And one day she went to visit this poor widow woman in a little cottage where she lived. And spent some time together and enjoying, you know, really Christian fellowship. And after she left, some of this poor woman's, by poor I mean poverty, material poverty, after she left, the neighbors who were, well, not all that kindly disposed toward her faith, they were in the shadows, they said, "Granny, who's your the most honored guest you've ever entertained?" And they thought she'd say, "Well, Jesus." Even though they constantly made fun of her Christian witness, they did recognize she was a deeply spiritual person. But to their surprise, she said, "Oh, the greatest guest I've entertained in my home is Queen Victoria." Aha! Wait, maybe I can do a Nate Bebout one. Aha! Sorry. Well, I didn't want you to forget about him. He's coming back in 3 weeks. Aha! We got you, because you were supposed to say Jesus. What about this Jesus you're all the time talking about? Isn't he your most honored guest? He said, "Oh, no, 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 no. He's not a guest. He lives here." Ooh. So there you have God's invitation. I love you. Have you heard? Come into my presence. Enjoy the warmth and security of my mighty hand, my presence, driving off the darkness around you, carrying you through the places of danger. I would encourage us all, let us become more aware of his presence. Let us experience the glory of his presence. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he'll lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God. He cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. Prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. So what has Joshua had to say to us? Renew your courage. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. And renew your hope and your joy. We learned that through Rahab, a woman with a past. And a God who will forgive anyone of anything, whatever you've done. And renew your trust and your obedience. Stay in the light. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, you can come boldly, God says, into my holy presence, where you find mercy and grace to help. Warmth and security of being in the light and the help of the Holy Spirit to choose obedience. Choose today and every moment of every day to stay in the light. Choose today and every moment of every day whom you will serve. Let's become more aware of his presence. Let's stay in that presence and experience the glory of that presence. Amen. This week be filled with moments where you experience the wonder and the glory of his presence, bringing you mercy and grace to help in times of need. As we choose obedience, we experience the wonder of his love for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace. Have an awesome week.